Well, one day the preposterous news came to us of an atom bomb being dropped in Japan somewhere. This was beyond our comprehension. It seemed one of the wildest rumours we had ever heard. But we were concerned that the Japs would hear the rumour too and take violent retaliatory action against us, as they did against any captured airmen who flew over Japan, whether they dropped bombs or not. However, this was followed one morning when I heard a noisy team of fellows chattering just outside our two beds, Russell's and mine, around the cigarette lighter. They were lighting their cigarettes and talking excitedly, and I shoved my head out and asked them what the row was. I said, anybody would think the war was over? And one of them said, well, it is. This was a case where the news could not be concealed, and as soon as it was read, it was apparently passed on. It just shows how rumours can fly, or news can fly so very quickly. Russell Wright didn't even have time to tell me about it. The only time he ever broke the security was when he said, Kels, they've crossed the Rhine. And that was referring to the attack, of course, towards the end of the war in Europe. But in this case, I did not know until I heard the noise just outside. Well, there followed a very uneasy truce after this. As far as we're concerned, only two things happened. We stopped saluting the Japs, but they were still in charge. Some senior Jap officer who was responsible for the whole of Malaya moved guns up, we were told anyway, commanding Changi Camp, and swore that he was going to blow us all to pieces, and of course he would commit suicide as well. It was an uneasy time. The Japs fed us unlimited quantities of rancid butter and biscuits, and we shoved these down, and we put on, I suppose, a couple of pounds of weight a day. They also gave us a tiny little towel each, things like that, so that we would look a bit better, a better condition, and slightly cleaner for when the occupation forces moved in.